Thanks, Sheila, and everybody else who read and who listened. This time, I'd like to announce our first speaker, Charlene from D.C.
Addict Charlene. Relapse is a part of my story. Kind of nervous. I got clean the first time in 95. Stayed here for 3 years. Got a bright idea. So I decided I'd go out there and do some investigation. But I kept coming back. Y'all told me keep coming back. So I kept coming back. So I get 60 days. Come back. Get 90 days. I couldn't get 6 months, y'all. And for real, right? The reason I couldn't stay clean because I couldn't identify with a lot of the things people were sharing in the room because I just didn't do it. You know, I was a dressed up garbage can in a crack house. You know, I still had a job, you know. I was living with my mother, my partner, you know. They was trying to get me clean. I wouldn't stay clean, you know. So the last time I used, I smoked rat poison. And that wasn't the first time. The disease of addiction, it wanted to kill me. And I really wanted to die, for real. So this time, I decided that, okay, I'm going to do what y'all tell me to do. Because, see, I wouldn't do what you tell me to do. I get a fly sponsor. I don't do no step work. I go to the NA dances. I go to the conventions. I do all that good stuff. But I ain't doing all that work. And the reason I want to do the work is I didn't want to be responsible for me. I was incapable of dealing with reality, for real. It was much easier for me to lay on your couch or sleep on your floor or go to the crack house than take responsibility for Charlene. You know, I was very immature. Very. I'm getting better in that area too. Right, but so when I came back this last time, it was May 29th, 2004. Next month I have 9 years clean. And see what I did what y'all told me to do in 95. I truly surrendered. I was like, I'm done. I'm so done that I'm like charcoal. I'll burn your flame for you. You know what I'm saying? I did all the research. I done tried it this way. Smoke a little weed. Drink a little beer. But I always end up smoking crack. I used to call myself a rock star. Picture that. Huh? But in reality, like I said, I couldn't deal with reality, man. I couldn't, you know, come on, I can go to work. That's easy. But I couldn't just make it back home. I couldn't get home. You know, we put money in the pocket. We put money in the shoe. And I'm just going to get one. Only one. And the rent money gone. The transportation to get back to work is gone. I'm looking stupid. And you wonder what's so bad? They wouldn't even let me back in the crack house. When they would see me, they would say, "Nah, we don't care how much money you got because we know you're a baller, but we don't want you in here because when you geek hard." I like to look through the window. I like to hear the police, and then I'm going to get up and leave. And they say, "This is too much work for us. You got to go." "No, you can't come in." They should say, "Shh, here she comes." And everybody in the house get... And I just saw somebody walk in. So what I did, I said later for it, man. I surrendered. So what I did was, all the tools that the program gave me in the beginning, I started using them. I got a sponsor. I used the sponsor. I started living the steps to the best of my ability. I was off the hang. When I came back, each time I was like, woo. But guess what? Y'all kept on saying, "Y'all love you, Charlene. I love you. Don't worry." A guy used to say, "You'll get it when you get it." And he used to see me on my geek all the time. So I said, "Okay, I'm going to do this thing." I told my counselor, I said, "Now, He told me the same thing. He said, listen, you just follow simple three rules. Go to meeting, get a sponsor, live the steps to the best ability. I said, okay, if it don't work this time, I ain't coming back. I wasn't. But I took his instructions. And I believe, he believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And that's very important. Somebody believing in you when you don't even believe in yourself make you feel like you're worthy to be somewhere where you don't even know where you at. And this cat, man, he broke me down. He pulled me up. He put me in his shoulder. And he guided me. Then I got that sponsor. You know, I done had a couple of them. Yeah. You know, but the one I got today, man, truly awesome. You know, I start living the steps. I start bucking the system. I start telling myself, okay, I can do this. And then when I was caught in the grips of fear, like right now, I'm going through a process, right? For 30 years I've been using, right? I've always been scared of needles. I would go to the dentist, and guess what? I would leave after giving you my money. Yeah, because I was scared. But guess what? I got so sick and tired of being so sick and tired because I looked at my pictures, and I don't smile. And the reason I don't smile is because my grill is messed up. But guess what? I'm spending a lot of money right now to get my stuff together. You know what I'm saying? Because guess what? I'm the kind of addict, I have to surrender to any and everything in my life. Like you heard what I said, right? It took me 8 years to get a year clean because I wouldn't surrender. And I thought surrender means loser. I'm a winner. And that's only because I practice the principles to the best. And I fall short. Thank God I do, because if I didn't, I wouldn't have a God. Let me share this with you. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was waiting for my significant other to come in. And I had used right in the neighborhood. And the dude had some nice stuff. Why? So y'all told me to call you anytime. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. None of y'all picked up. So you know I had a resentment, right? But the difference is that this time I had picked up the literature, and they said it would be a time when there would be nobody there but you and God. And I said, God, please help me, because I don't know what else to do but to use. And I felt the presence of God. He took the compulsion, obsession right there away. And I haven't used. I haven't thought about using. I just had my second drug dream after 9 years. And I used in the dream. The first dream, I had so much drugs on me, I couldn't find a light or a stair. The second dream, I got high. And I came to the meeting, and I said, man, I got high. And the dude said, oh, that the first one is free. I said, I want that. I want the first one. Because you ain't hearing my story. I was mad that I got high in my dream. But guess what I did? I went to a meeting and shared, and I was mad as hell, right, sis? Right? I was mad. Because I don't want to get high. I know where it takes me. Nah. This program, the evidence of the program, I mean, let me tell you, God has worked through me like, I feel like I shine, man, through recovery. I think we was up coming up here, and I'm so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. I still got the desire to come and go and do what I need to do for myself to survive. I was living like zombie. Now I'm in my true element. This is what God wanted me to do. You know what I'm saying? To be the woman that my mother loved. I'm a beneficiary. At one time my mother said, get the hell out of my house. I don't want you. I wish I never even had you. Now she called me for cancer. She called me for, I'd be like, Lord, Lord. And then the greatest gift, one of the greatest gifts I got, my brother is an addict. He got 5 years clean because he said, I'm his big sister. I know some of y'all can identify when your family get clean just like you. Huh? And he's my oldest brother. He was like, I'm so proud of you. You know, we tell each other we love each other. Before, you know, it was like, yo, you know what's up? You know? I said, no, I don't know what's up. I love you. He was like, man, don't, you know, come on, man. I said, oh, you can't tell me? You don't love me? He said, I love you, man. And I was like, okay, because, you know, I love you, man. I'm proud of you, man. And this is what Narcotics Anonymous has afforded me. To be in my mother's life, my niece's life, my great nieces and nephews, they think I'm the, whoo. You know what I'm saying? When they come around me, they like, auntie, I'll be like, wow. I'd be amazed because of the love that they, I mean, they love me unconditionally. You know? I mean, this program, man, I say I could shoot myself in the head losing all this information, keep on using. But I'm grateful that I didn't. Because I really wanted to die. I was just a punk, a coward. I tried to take the easiest off the way. Now I want to live. And I'm going to. No matter what. You hear me? I done been through so much stuff in here. Everything that I used to, I just keep on going. I be like, Lord. I be like, yo, dude. Come on, man. Move. I know you can do it. Come on. What's up? He don't move, but when he do move, whoo! Let me share this, right? 3 months behind in my rent, being irresponsible, want to do what I want to do when I want to do, because I got a couple of more diseases, and one of them is just, I love the shop. I love the bling, bling, bling. I love all of that, because, you know, a cat told me if I don't cop, I can shop. That's all I heard all the time. That's all I heard. I was like, oh, what? Go ahead and shop. Man. If y'all know what I did to myself. Rat poison. Rat poison. Doctor said he don't even know why I was existing. Why you? We don't, you know, Mr. We don't even know. It's like, okay, you gave it to me once, and I threw it away. You know what I'm saying? I could smoke rat poison twice. Second time, I was like, okay, I'm done. I hear you. I'm going over there into that NA program, and I'm going to do what these people tell me to do, because if I don't, I know I ain't going to get a third time. Because I felt like I was on death row. I was a three-time loser. And the program said, you're not. I mean, you wouldn't believe the relationship I have with other addicts. I know where they live. I know where they work. I know where, I mean, they asked me, could you come over a house set? I was like, you want me to house set? You sure about that? They was like, yeah, I trust you, Charlene. And I was like, oh, why you had to say you trust me? Because nobody never trusts me. They didn't even trust me to go and get anything because they knew I wasn't coming back. Now, you give me keys to your house. You invited me to know your daughters, your children, your grandmothers. And I'm like, and these people are loving me. And I'm like, I don't know why you love me, you know, because, you know, I'm still, you know, I'm off the chain. And I'm still off the chain. But yet y'all love me no matter what. I mean, just, I'll be like, there's some crazy people up in here. But then, you know, I'm in a room with people just like myself. Huh? So that's why y'all love me. I used to tell the cat, you can't love me until I love myself. He said, well, I'm going to love you. I was like, yo, dude's sick. Why? But he taught me how to love me. I remember a woman told me, she said, I want you to get a full-length mirror because my low self, I had no esteem. Said, I want you to go past that mirror and say, hi, Charlene, I like you. And I did that thing for maybe like 30 some days. And one day I walked past that mirror and I say, oh, hey, what's up, Charlene? I love you. And I was feeling that thing. You hear what I'm saying? Because for real, I had no love for myself. You know what I mean? I had no love. And I was like, okay, that worked. Let me, okay, what you want me to do? Huh? Okay, I'm going to do that. And I tried. And guess what? Every suggestion that I tried, I was successful. I learned how to be responsible, a productive member of society. And not only on that, my job loved me. You know, I used on my job loved me. You know, people be saying, if nobody show up, call Charlene. She'll come in now, she's gonna do the job. You don't have to check her work or do nothing. That girl is, and I'm like, I'm hyped, period, right? I'm hyped on my job. You don't give me one thing, give me four or five things. So when I come back, you know I done did something. And they said, we never have to check over your work. I'd be like, wow, cool. That makes you feel good. I don't know about nobody else, but when somebody tell me, this old lady, she about like this little. I'm walking. She said, Charlene. I said, what's up, man? She said, when you gonna come work with me? I said, girl, she bad. She bad. You hear me? She bad. I said, I ain't on your level yet. She said, yes, you are. And I want you to come work with me. And that felt good because this woman been on my job for over 30-something years and she want me to work with her. She said, baby, the women can't do what we do. And I was like, okay, I'm going to work with you. Things like that. They didn't want me before. They said, get away from me. Don't come to the crack house. Close the curtains. Lock the door. I got a key to my mother's house, man. You hear me? I've been living by myself for, I went from an Oxford house to a room to an apartment. I've been in my apartment 6 years by myself. Signed a lease. You hear me? And guess what? I'm living in an apartment. I don't know nothing about that, y'all. Because, you know, like I said, I slept on your couch or my mother's house or the partner house. I slept somewhere. So I told this dude, I raised my hand. I said, look, man, I don't know where to go to turn on my gas and electric. And the dude said, I got you, Charlie. He took me down and turned on my gas and my electric. I was living in my apartment for 2 days or 3 days because I didn't know where to go. I was 34 when I had my first job, and guess what? It was an addict that showed me how to fill out the application. Huh? No matter, I went in and out, in and out, in and out. Y'all love me. You gave me back. Huh? I didn't know who I was because I wore so many hats. Y'all say, okay, do some step work. You'll find out who you are. And I'm going to share this. This is some deep stuff, right? I ain't never had a dress on. Nah. I've been this way all my freaking fracking life. I ain't ashamed. I'm very proud of who I am. One day, I was walking in a Target. And I was like, oh, shit. That's a beautiful dress. I ain't in no relationship. So, sister looked at the dress. Then, you know, I looked left, looked right. Because, you know, I live in an area where all the addicts at. So, the lady walked up to me and she said, that's a nice dress. I was like, yeah. Said, what's your size? I said, ma'am, I don't even know. She said, you look like you're about a 4 or 5. I was like, I don't know. She said, come on, let's take this in there. I'm like, okay. But I'm steady looking around. Because, see, I still had this image. Right? So I go in the dressing room. I try on the first one. It was a 4. That's when I was smaller. Right? I try on that dress, and I said, damn. You should see me. I was like, I was posing. I was like, hold on, let me do a little something like that. You know, I mean, I was like, shoo. I was like, shoo, I'm getting this sucker. So I walk out the dressing room and I'm like this. Yeah, just put it in the bag. Just put it in the bag. But see, I didn't know where God was leading me. Because I had a sponsor say, come on, you got to do your 4 step. I was like, man, I know who I am. I'm a cruddy dope man. He was like, yeah, okay, let's put this on some paper and pen. So, a couple of weeks later, for no reason, I was looking at TV. I got up and cut off my TV, got the full-length mirror, put my desk up there, and went in the bathroom, put the dress on, and I started writing. And it was such a spiritual awakening. In 6 hours, I was finished. Because I decided, made a decision. I wasn't getting up until I was finished. You understand? And in that process, I got in touch with my feminine side. I started taking my jeans and buying fitting jeans. I started taking my shirts and wearing very comfortable shirts. You know, because you can look like a crackhead in here and still be clean wearing all that big stuff. I didn't want to look like that. I wanted you to see my hips and my curves because I liked them after I looked at myself in the mirror. I like, huh? And then this dude told me after I had shed, he was like, "Damn, Sean." He's like, "Yeah, you know, not." And for the first time, I ain't punching nobody in the face. You know, I was like, "For real?" He was like, "You is sexy." I was like, "For real?" He was like, "Yeah." He said, "Girl, if you ever come on over here, I got you." And I was like, "For real?" He was like, "You can keep your girlfriend. Just, you know." And I was like, "Wow." And I was like, damn, I started looking at myself. And then, next you know, another dude said that to me. And when he said, he was like this, "You know you're looking fat, right, Charlene?" And I was like, "You can come close. I ain't going to hit you." Because I fight I'm going to tell you. But, you know, something? I was brought up one way, and y'all have taught me a whole new way of life. You know what I'm saying? Y'all have taught me a whole new way of life. Y'all have given me self-respect, integrity, courage, and faith. You know what I'm saying? And my brothers that I used to be violent with, they look at me and they said, "Give me a hug, Charlene." I hug them like it ain't nothing. They be like, "Damn, you know I got a girlfriend." I be like, "Shit, I want you or your girlfriend. I just like the embrace of the brothers sometimes. Because I'm still a little girl. Because, you know, I was molested when I was young. My dad wasn't there. You know? So I was like, "I ain't messing with none of you." The brothers used to do like this. "Give me a hug." I'd be like. And it went from there to like, oh, yeah. I was just laying in a couple of my brother's chests. That's a miracle for me. So, you know, I'm telling you, man. This program really does work. But guess what? I have to do the work. If I do nothing, I get nothing, right? I can go to the bank and get a withdrawal. Huh, that's some bad stuff. I used to say all cop money, all money was cop money, all my money in the bank, on the credit card, in my pocket, in my house. Next month, I'm like, 9 years. 9 years, Charlene? I said, that's the evidence of the program, man. And tell you the truth, I don't do a lot of work. I just show up. I do step work. You know what I'm saying? And I used to only have male sponsors, y'all. Yeah, because your sisters couldn't tell me nothing. I ain't do what you do. Huh? Shit. I'm sorry. This time, right, me and my male sponsor, we decided to go separate ways. And guess what? My sponsor's been in my life for like 4 years now. Just friends. I mean, I could share some stuff with her and she'd come back with some stuff. I'd be feeling good afterwards, y'all. Because I'd be like, shit, I thought I was bad, but woo! She got the kicker on me, but she been through a lot of stuff. And she makes me feel better about all my mistakes. She's dead. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. My friend told me, and I'm just understanding. I understand that when they say women stick with women and men stick with men. All right? Because this woman has changed me in a short period of time. We've been together. People say you share different. You talk different. Your whole facade is just different. And I said, that's only because I probably got a woman sponsor, y'all. Because God did it for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Because the women told me. This is y'all didn't get a woman sponsor. I'm so grateful that I took another addict's suggestion. And she said, because I don't really socialize with too many women. She said, "You don't got no woman got any clean time?" I was like, "Yeah, but my friend, you know, she already sponsored me one time. We friends. And I thought about it, and I was like, hold on. Hey, I'm going to say this. Charmaine Gray is my sponsor, man. And I love her. You know what I'm saying? Because that woman, I thank God for women in recovery with clean time. You hear me? Who are not judgmental or critical of what you do and the mistakes you make in life that build you up after you done messed up and tell you, baby, you're all right. And I'd be like, I'm all right. She's like, yeah, you all right. You're right where you're supposed to be, baby. So I thank God for sponsorship, my predecessors, all my brothers that hug me, all my sisters that keep coming back. That was a joke, y'all, you know. Yeah, you supposed to laugh off of that one. You know, I was any other time you're laughing. But anyway, y'all, I'm an addict named Charlaine. Thank you for letting me share.
Michael Addict. Before we bring up the next speaker, let's give Charlaine one more round of applause. Now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Janice from D.C.
Hi, family. I'm an addict named Janice. And I don't want to be doing this. Let me just get that off the top. When the committee member walked up to me and asked me to fill in and do this meeting because somebody didn't show or whatever the case, I instantly got a feeling. Like, you know, just nervousness all over. I have a friend who always says, my thinking ain't my friend, or over there, I was a mess. I was sitting there going, I do not want to do this. But the thing I know and I remember is that we all have a story, and I just need to tell you my story, right? The topic of this workshop is Welcome to NA, and shit, I could be doing cartwheels, right? For real. I mean, when I got here, I was a mess. I didn't know nothing, but I thought I knew everything. And I've gotten so many blessings here that, you know, he said I got 25 minutes. I was like, I can't talk that long. But honestly, if I start talking about, you know, what NA has done for me, I might be here till tomorrow. I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous in 1988, and I wasn't interested. I just know how to get high real good. And my folks was like, you gotta go. So I checked into detox and I heard some stuff. But truly, I wasn't ready. And so within 90 days, I was doing what I know how to do best, and that's use. But from 88 till 93, when I came back, I was really tired. And I don't know. It's just been a blessing. Like, I got here and I was really open about getting clean. I didn't know what to expect. I knew I needed treatment because the first time I didn't go, and so I went to treatment, and that was quite an eye opener. I kept hearing, you know, all these tragic stories that women and men were going through, and I didn't. That wasn't my experience. When I used, I copped and I went home. I copped and I went home, and I copped and I went home. But when I used, nothing matters. And like, I have three daughters, and like, they were always in the way. I even used till the day I gave birth to one of my daughters, and she was just teasing me the other day about that. You know, they ride me about my addiction, or you know, we tease about it. And she was like, Mom, you know, you left me in the hospital. I left her in the hospital because she was ill. She was born with a heart murmur, and I went to a funeral. You know, I just, when treatment was just an eye-opener for me. I didn't know, again, what to expect. And so I went through that process, and then I went to a recovery home, and that was another story. It was good for me because, I mean, even though I have four sisters, I never really bonded, you know, I never had a close-knit relationship with my sisters at a young age because I was doing my thing. We're all about 2 to 3 years apart. And so ain't nobody know what I was doing. You know, I was doing what I do. And except for one sister who caught me smoking a cigarette, I recall, one day, and she would tell everything. So, you know, I went to this recovery home, and a lot of people don't know my story, and I don't talk about this a lot. I was stabbed in that recovery home by a young lady that lived there, and I have a puncture to my heart and lung. And so I almost lost my life at like 5 months clean. One of the things I heard a lot of when I came around and in meetings was, because Paul used to give me these things about make sure you go to meetings and make sure you help somebody and make sure you pray and, you know, all that foundation stuff that we know all about. And one of the things that I didn't learn, I came to learn about me in my recovery process is that, like, I'm tall and I'm a big girl and I've been this way all my life. And so all the girls that I hung around with, when I grew up, when we got in trouble, I was always the first one they saw. And so I had this bullying attitude, but really, you know, truly that's not my nature. But that's how I got stabbed in that recovery home. And I don't know. That was just a big turning point in my life. And I have to say it did help me to stay here because it taught me that, you know, your behavior has to change when you get here. And so when I went in, I thought that I could walk around and say what I wanted to say to people and I wouldn't have any consequences. But that was my consequence. And even today, like, in my recovery, I haven't really had any problems with my heart since that incident, but now I do. And so I see a cardiologist on a regular basis and, you know, and have these damn tests all the time. But it's good. I really, you know, have to admit that I appreciate my cardiologist because he's proactive. You know, whenever I say it's something wrong, you know, he wants to have a test. And he even tells me that my EKG resembles the fact that I had a heart attack before. I could have when I smoked because, you know, sometimes when we getting high, you know, don't nothing matter. I don't care what's going on. I've cut my wrists using, and I was like, I'm going to wrap that sucker up and let's keep it moving. I don't know. My recovery process was so wonderful because I had a lot of people that I hung around with. I went back home. I'm from Alexandria, Virginia. So, and even though I lived in D.C., you know, it's nothing like home. And so I went back home to get clean and you know, we would go to 7 o'clock meetings and 2 o'clock in the afternoon and just all day. And so recovery just came a way of life for me, and I came to love it. I went through, I got married in recovery. I got divorced in recovery. And honestly, that was the most emotion I've ever experienced in my life. I never felt homicidal before. I never felt like, you know, I never felt so much rage, ever. And I just thought it was going to be a piece of cake. You know, we don't see eye to eye no more. I'm going about my way, you go about yours. But the emotion for me was huge. Like, by that time, my daughters were 13, 15, and 17. And, you know, having to try to figure out what you're going to do with them. And, you know, some of the stuff that him and I still dealing with. And I was crazy. I couldn't even talk in meetings. all I could do was come and be present and hope that you guys will feed my spirit and that I would, you know, not hurt somebody or hurt myself. I don't know. I'm just grateful for recovery because, you know, one of the most profound things I think that I got, that I've gotten from recovery is that I can be okay in my own skin. Like, you know, I think all of us come in here and, you know, we just don't know what to expect and you sit in meetings and you don't want to share and you know, but just connecting with, you know, and listening to people and telling me, you know, Janice, it's okay that, you know, you think you know everything. we got you. It's okay, whatever it is. And I think it was somewhere around my 10th year that I finally became okay with who I am and the stuff that I don't know and the things that I do and, you know, the thing and how I react to things. Like, I thought, you know, my behavior was just out of whack and nobody would understand, but y'all do. Mm. That's big for me. Mm. Because I grew up always defiant and always on punishments and always, my father was always tapping my ass. And so, you know, to come here and know that, you know, however I behave, you know, somebody's going to help me. Mm-hmm. That's good. Relationships and recovery is probably my toughest area. I'm a loner for the most part. And I'm not a loner because, you know, I like being alone. Fuck, I hate it. Because when I think about some of the times when, you know, I'm sitting around the house and I got 6 hours to kill and I don't have anything on my plan and nobody rings my phone. But that's me. I don't reach out to people because I don't know. I'm afraid of losing friendships. Because I had that happen to me early on in recovery. I made a statement to a friend about another friend, and it ruined my relationship with her. We're cool now, but that kind of stuff is devastating for me. I love my friends, and I want to keep them. So, you know, getting close to people, and then when you can't get to some resolve without, you know, your friendship separating, that's a task. That it takes a toll on my emotion. And so I struggle with those. I even struggled with my sponsor in the beginning. Everything that she pointed out to me or wanted me to see about me, I thought she was, you know, trying to beat me up. And then I disappeared for about a month or two. And she would call me and, you know, I'd act like we'd be all right. But I wasn't. But we've gotten to a lot better place. I trust her now. And it's funny because when those things would happen, I have a sister that's in recovery also. And I would always go to my sister and she'll say, all I see is that she loves you. And I'm like, but do you see what I'm trying to say? She said, I hear you. But she just loves you and she wants the best for you. So she's trying to help you, but you just want to have it your way and you want somebody to side with you. But I can't side with you, Janice. You know, that's the kind of stuff I need. The other thing that is going on in my life is that I'm aging. I've been here almost 20 years, and my body aches. Like, I mean, when I say my body ache, I mean my lower back hurts. I mean my rollers in my arms hurt. I mean my hips hurt. I'm doing physical therapy. My knees hurt. I'm planning arthroscopic surgery in May, and this is the first time I've ever said it out loud in a meeting. I don't talk about, you know, pains and aches and stuff because I know it comes with age. Like, I watch my parents when I was growing up. And when they start saying things like, oh, this hurt, and I was like, can't shit be hurting that bad. I remember thinking that. I remember thinking that. Shit, you can't be hurting all the time. I hurt all the time. Every freaking muscle and bone in my body pops. You should hear me. I sound like popcorn in the morning when I stretch. And I'm having hot flashes. Like they just started again about a month ago. And you see me sleeveless, don't you? I got to make sure I stay cool because I'm miserable as hell. And then I understand that caffeine triggers hot flashes. And I'm an addict to coffee every morning. Like, I love it. Like, I have it prepared so when I wake up and take my slippers off, I go straight to my kitchen and get it. And I don't like any of it. I don't like the pains that I'm going through. I don't like the fact that I have hot flashes. I don't like the fact that I'm not motivated to work out and get some of this weight off, or otherwise my hips wouldn't hurt so bad or my knees wouldn't hurt so bad. Those are the areas I'm struggling in right now. And I reach out to people and I tell them and they reach back and then I'll be like, I'm coming. But I can't get there. So now, my latest excuse is I'm waiting for the weather to break. So the weather just broke. And I hope that in about 60, 90 days, y'all will have seen me shed about 20 pounds. I hope. But I struggle. Like, I've been struggling with my weight since I was a kid. Like, and you know, we all can look in the mirror and find something we don't like about ourselves. And then I go see my sponsor. She go, oh, you look so pretty. You have such a beautiful figure. And I be like, oh, I love you.
Yeah.
But I don't see it and I don't feel it.
Yeah, I feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really don't. I beat myself up every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. But it's okay. You know, I mean, it ain't the end of the world for me. Mm-hmm. But I struggle with my weight and getting better every day. Yeah, it is. It is. It's all right. My 25 minutes up. Life is good. Mm-hmm. I don't care what I complain about, the fact that I struggle about my weight, all of that. I live though.
Yeah.
I really do. Like, I have about 4 jobs. I wait tables. I work for a pension fund and have a full-time job during the day. I took on another on-call job that, you know, I love. And I'm a licensed hairstylist. And as long as I've been here, a lot of people don't know that either. That's the first thing I did when I got clean was went back to school and got my license. Because I've always wanted to do that. So I do all of that stuff. And I'm relatively happy. You know, only person that beats me up is me.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else around me, like you guys, love me. Mm-hmm. Love me. And that's why I know I'm safe. And that's why I know I'm in the right place. And that's why I know Welcome in the NA is a great topic for me.
Woo!
Because I feel welcome here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. I just need to take a different step I just need to work out a little more. I need to, you know, feed my spirit. I need to do all of that. And hopefully this, you know, this is the year that I'll do better. Recovery is great. Life is awesome. I got grandbabies now that I just in love with. I just love my grandbabies, right? I didn't know. I tell people grandchildren is a different kind of love. It's like, you know, when I walk in my apartment and my grandbaby says, "Hi, Gigi." that sound is like, I don't really have any complaints. And that's why when I come to meetings and I don't really talk about this stuff. Because what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to age and I'm going to ache and I'm going to go to the doctor and I'm going to get medications for this and I'm going to get, operations for that and I'm going to get better and I'm going to do what I got to do. And I'm going to come to meetings and I'm going to get my spirit fed so I feel better. And that's why I feel better already. You know, it's as simple as that for me. Thanks for listening.
Michael Attic. Let's thank Janice for sharing. And both of our speakers. At this time, I'd like to open up the mic. Anybody who wants to come up and share? We have about 10 minutes for open share.